This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience, whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist. And wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is Paul Gough. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. We love it. Love sharing with you what's happening, what we're seeing around the global physiotherapy community. And this week, we're going to answer a question, another one that I found on social media, under the topic of cult, and wondering whether or not you are part of a cult and whether or not you should be part of a quote-unquote physio cult. So we're going to get into that today. Last podcast got some reaction. We spoke about whether it's dishonest and misleading to use the words DPT if you're not a physio. There was a scenario where a personal trainer was using the words DPT in their marketing, and it caused quite the offense to some physiotherapist in the town who posted about it on social media. And I shared with you my thoughts. If you haven't checked out the last episode of the podcast, I think it's 601, make sure you do. Some very, very good, insightful marketing lessons. Once you get past all of the sort of bullshit and the ego and the drama and the my opinion and all that stuff that was on social media, there's actually some really good business lessons for anybody trying to grow. And it don't really matter whether somebody is a DPT or a PT or whatever. There's lots of good stuff on there for you if you're trying to grow your business, which is what this podcast is all about, sharing with you things that people are doing to grow their business. That's what I've loved being a part of and building over the last 9 years, as a community of people aspiring to grow their businesses. And today's podcast will be no different. Do not be fooled. We're going to talk about a cult. You might think that's kind of not really related to business, but I assure you, as you're about to find out, it really is. So that's coming up. What's been going on in Paul's life since last week? Well, Florida is beautiful right now. I mean, Florida's beautiful most of the time, but there's just something amazing happened over the last 2 or 3 weeks where we normally get really good weather, but it's been like really, really, really good weather. Now, I'm sorry to say that if you are in the UK or you're up north somewhere and it's freezing cold still. We've had clear blue sky for weeks. I think there's been one day of rain where it just got a bit hot. It got to like 82 and it just cleared it down. And we're all kind of living in this perfect 78, 79s, 80s right now. And it's just gorgeous. We're loving every second of it. So across the weekend, I went to watch the Magic play basketball last week. I'm loving the basketball. Nice to see Orlando Magic get in the playoffs. My boys love it and we love going to those games. I'm going to get some tickets for the playoff games against the Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're playing in the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to that. And I spent all weekend by the pool. The margarita is back out, the bottles of Peroni. And I tell you what I ordered last night. It was just amazing. Chipotle. Sometimes I go months without having a Chipotle. And then, oh, it was amazing last night. So loving life in Florida right now. And yeah, just enjoying everything that we're doing at PG Media. We are getting ready again for events season. It seems like we finished two events and then boom, I have a couple of weeks to rest and then we're back at it again. So we've got a massive event in London in June, 7th, 8th and 9th. Great opportunity for you to come no matter where you are in the world. We've just helped somebody, well, we've just assisted a guy who's coming over from Nigeria. He needed a letter for his visa application to come in from Nigeria. We have done the same for a guy from Brunei once. We assisted in the visa process from Brunei. We have people coming in from Dubai. We'll have people coming in from the UAE, from Denmark. We've got Jason Han coming over from Los Angeles. We have got Wong Tran coming over from Miami. We've got, I believe, Chris Garcia coming over from San Diego. Paul Hendricks will probably jump on a flight from Texas. And that's just off the top of my head. No doubt Carrie is probably on a flight from Boston headed over as well. So basically what I'm saying is this is an event in London, but wherever you are in the world, I know we attract a global audience. Please come over. London in June, it does not get better. Like, they talk about the greatest city in the world. To be in London in June, late nights, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, late nights sometimes, It's just going to be amazing. It's a quiet weekend as well. We've picked June because there's no Wimbledon. There's no major crazy things going on. You're going to be able to enjoy the city. The hotel prices are fair and reasonable for that time of year. And it's just going to be a lovely time for you to come over as well. So wherever you are in the world, people are getting on flights from like faraway destinations to come to PPM Live June 7th, 8th and 9th. And if you're in the UK, there's no excuse. If you're in Ireland, there's no excuse. And do you know what? If you're in Dublin or Republic of Ireland, it's probably easier to get to London than it is from anywhere else in the UK because it's one 50-minute flight across the little pond there. And for most of you, if you're in the UK, it's a train or a tube if you're in London. So we're in the heart of London, South Kensington, 7th, 8th and 9th. PPM Live, the ultimate marketing super conference for private practice owners. The UK, the London edition. I'm very proud to be able to bring the three-day event to the UK. We've tested it twice in the US and it works like crazy. So come on over. PPMLiveUK.com is the URL. You can go and get your new customer appreciation offer there right now. You can save hundreds and hundreds of dollars if you go right to that page right now and get your seat booked. The reason to come, I always say, if you're listening to this podcast, and what's funny is I know some of you listen to it for years, don't wait years. The point of these events is to speed up the journey of you coming to see what the fuss is about and why people keep coming out to my events and why we keep filling them up and why no matter what city we put them on, people come out to. Don't keep listening to this podcast on your own. Don't keep trying to run a business on your own. Don't keep trying to second guess yourself. Don't keep making the same mistakes. Come and find out what other people are doing. My job is to aggregate the community's best practices and I share them with you at events, whether it's marketing or people or finance. There's going to be lots of talk about AI, the resurrection of workshops, the success that people are having right now with workshops that we're seeing in the community is huge. So I'm going to share with you some best practices and things that we're seeing people do to make their workshops go off with a bang. And if you don't know what a workshop is at your clinic, you definitely need to come. So PPM Live UK edition, June 7th, 8th and 9th. If you can't make that one, we're in New Jersey, 29th and 30th. So we're going to be in Jersey City. Fly to Newark for the event there as well. Get in touch, paul@paulgough.com, if you're interested in coming. Please don't stay on the sidelines. Don't stay there. Come and get involved in the community that we've built for you. We built this for you. I've said it all along. If you're a business owner, I remember what it was like trying to build a business on my own. And this was pre-masterminds and social media and Facebook groups and internet. God, that's how long it's been going. I mean, the internet had popped at that point, but there certainly wasn't anything like what you're seeing today on social media when I was first starting my business in 2007. So it was lonely. You were on your own. You were isolated. I think Facebook was just getting going and Instagram wasn't there and LinkedIn might have just started. Twitter possibly just got going. I remember what it was like. It was very lonely and I spent years figuring things out for myself, which was stupid. There's no prizes for figuring it out yourself. Even if you are successful and you've done it on your own, you've probably cost yourself so much heartache and pressure and mistakes and frustration and worry and doubt that you didn't need to go through. And that's the point of the events. So come on, get involved. Now is the time for you to get to a PG event. If you want to check it out as well, look on my YouTube channel. There's lots of footage from my recent events. Just Google what's it like at a Paul Gough event. A video will come up that will give you an insight into what it's like at my event. And it's nothing like those boring, stuffy, Con Ed, CEU type things where some lecturer sits at the front and starts talking about back pain and you can spend all day trying not to fall asleep. It's nothing like that. It's a real event. It's not even a seminar, it's an event, like legitimately, it's like a party, but we do teach you some good stuff as well in between it all. So please come and see us. PPM Live UK is the place for your ticket for London, or get in touch for New Jersey, there'll be a page for that as well soon. But in the meantime, paul@paulgough.com, or just reply to any email that you're getting. The first edition of the new book is out as well, Extraordinary Achievement, if you haven't heard about that. We've kept it low key because we've been editing it, and still there is a first edition of it. We're going to just updated a little and then do a massive launch on it, but you can get it on Amazon if you want to get your hands on the first draft. Extraordinary Achievement, How to Get to the Next Level of Success in Business and Life. It is a 350 page 14 chapter novel. This one's like War and Peace or 50 Shades of Grey. You can hear it. Pretty much everything I've learned about what it takes to live and be extraordinary and continuing to try live a life that is extraordinary and according to my definition of success. Extraordinary is living at a level above. It's not just about money all the time. It's about how you feel about what you've achieved, what you've had to give up to get there. And ultimately, it's about balancing your ambition. It's about balancing your ambition with acceptance of yourself. If you're trying to grow, you're trying to get somewhere in life, that's one thing. And I love that. That's the entrepreneurial spirit. But don't do it at the price of giving up today and just accepting who you are. Don't be in a rush to prove something to somebody. Just because your business is successful doesn't mean that we're any different or any better or any special. Like, we don't have to give up that. I think it's about accepting yourself and balancing that with your entrepreneurial ambition. And hopefully you'll like the book. So check it out. The first version of it, if you like, is available now. There'll be a massive launch in the summer on this, but you can get your hands on the first copy on Amazon right now. So that's what's going on. I'm going to answer the question of should you be, I think the question was actually this, how to recognize that you're part of a physio cult. So I'm going to give a guy called Adam Meekins, you may or may not know of Adam. I believe he's a fairly well-known, some would say controversial individual on Instagram and Facebook and the likes. I have no idea why they might say he's controversial. Only kidding. But look, I don't always agree with everything that Adam puts out, and him and I have had a few little spats, shall we like, on Instagram, but I do appreciate what he's done. He's built a massive following, and his brand is fantastic, and I love that. I always try and find the positive in anything anybody does. He often criticizes somebody like me for teaching sales and teaching marketing, and we don't always have to agree on what way is right. And equally, sometimes I'll see somebody's methodology I don't quite agree with, but I'll always try and find what the positives are and what they do. And in Adam's case, I think he's built up a huge online following as the sports physio, and that's good for him. I think he's got a fantastic brand, a strong message. He's very polarizing. All of the things that you should be to be successful. So well done to him for that. And his question was something along the lines of how to recognize when you are part of a physio cult. How to know when you're part of a physio cult was the question. And he talked about how your cult required a long and expensive certification process. Your cult claims to have superior methods. Your cult is named after a well-known physio, usually dead. Your cult does not allow you to question the leader's methods. And your cult denies it's a cult. And that's the bit that got my attention. The bit that says your cult denies it's a cult. And I looked at that and I laughed and I thought, I'm going to have to talk about this, because I wrote an article to over 350 people on my newsletter list. I have a physical newsletter. It's called Planet Paul, and it goes out around the world every 30 days. And the first article this year in January was titled, "It is a cult." It is a cult. I literally wrote an article about it is a cult. And here's the story behind it. And it's very relevant for you in your business. The annual planning that I did in early January, one of my staff members, one of my new staff members said that when he left, he announced this to everybody in the room. So I've got 40 plus staff now in my PG Media company. We are flying, we're growing the agency side of the business. You've probably heard about physio funnels, and everything we're doing is amazing. And more and more people are coming into it. So I need inevitably more and more staff. So this new staff member stands up in front of everybody else in the room and says, when I announced that I was leaving my job to come and work here at Paul Gough Media, the business owner said, "I wouldn't go there. It's like a cult." And my staff were up in arms about this. They were how rude and disrespectful, and how dare he say this, and yada yada. And I sat back and watched and laughed. And I came back into the conversation. I said, "You know what? It is a cult. This is a cult. Paul Gough Media absolutely is a cult. There is no denying that. We are absolutely a cult." And I looked at the definition of a cult. Now, yes, take the religious kind of element out of it, right? It's not that type of thing. But if you look at the definition of a cult, it's an organization with shared beliefs and values. And in that respect, we are a cult. And I went on to tell the staff that it's actually a really good thing that somebody has recognized how we live and how we behave. And because of how we live and how we behave, it's radically different from that business's where my current employees come from. So the business owner recognizes in my business a way of living, a way of behaving, a set of standards and a set of doing things, whether it's our marketing or our sales or our culture. That business owner has recognized something wildly different from his business. And the only thing that he could come up with was that it's a cult, right? And what often people do is when they struggle in life, or they're just underperforming, or they can't put their finger on it, they think they should be more successful than they are at that point, they start being rude or derogatory to other people. That's all they know how to do. So instead of asking the question, I wonder what makes that business different and why it's so successful, it's very easy to say, it's a cult, right? And they give a slur. So you'll hear it when people say your marketing is too salesy. Or you'll love this one. I've had two conversations in the last couple of weeks that go something like this. I don't like the website that you've built for me because it's too American, right? That was by a UK guy. And I had somebody in America say, I don't like the websites because it's too much like from the UK. It's not American enough. So I thought, well, which is it? What am I? Am I too American or am I too English? Like, or are you both just full of shit, basically, looking for any excuse not to move forward because you're frightened about actually doing something different, and you're frightened of the occasional peer who might not like what you do, a doctor that might not like it, and not considering the fact that these things are proven over nearly a decade to work for hundreds of clinics around the world, and we're following what is the best practice of how to design a website that I've gone away and learned from very, very smart business owners, people like Dan Kennedy and so on, who've taught me how to do this type of thing, and I've implemented it into the websites of physio clinics all around the world. I'm following best practices. You might not like it and it might not feel nice, but it works. What do you want? Do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? Simple as that, right? So what my point is that people, when they're weak and when they're poor, usually they are broke nearly always, right? In every aspect, both mentally and professionally and personally and financially, they're just broken. It's so easy for them to give out slurs because it makes them feel really good and powerful at the time. So you're too salesy is one you'll hear from patients every now and again. A patient, oh, you're too salesy. Or a staff member will say, oh, I just don't like this place. It's become too salesy. Oh, fuck off, right? Well, if we didn't sell, dude, you wouldn't have a job in the first place. So, like, let's not go there, right? We all have to do what we have to do to be successful. That's it. Like, if there was another way, we'd fucking do it sometimes. Believe me, I sit here day after day after day, tearing my hair out, fighting the good fight. And loving it, by the way, but fighting a fight. With my emails, with my podcasts, with my postcards that go out. I've sent about 10,000 postcards in the last 3 weeks. I've got people cleaning lists from people we've scraped all around the world trying to get in touch with people. We're collecting phone numbers from Facebook. We're sending out emails, building funnels, running 6 different Facebook ad tests, split testing headlines. What else am I doing? Sales copy, videos. Did I mention podcasts? Did I mention books? Like, if there was a better way, an easier way, believe me, I'd have figured it out, right? I'm not fucking stupid, and I don't like sitting here any longer than I have to. But that is the way. And until somebody shows me another way, I won't go there. But what I also won't do is I won't be derogatory to other people, right? I might not agree with their methods all the time, but I can always find that, that's interesting. What's the good in what that guy is? You know, what's that guy doing there? What's that girl doing there? Rather than the sort of pathetic, constantly knocking people down all the time. And that's candidly one of the only things that I disagree with sometimes about Adam, what I mentioned at the start. I don't always love the fact that he goes online and criticizes other physios publicly. That I don't think that's cool, right? That's against what I think is right and overstepping the mark. But that's fine if that's what he wants to do. And I called him out on that on social media. So I'm not saying anything on this podcast that I haven't said to him, if you like, online. I think there's a point. You criticize the method, but don't criticize the fellow professional. I just think that's crossing the line, and I don't think there's any need to, you know, to go down that path. And equally, I think if somebody's looking at my business and saying, hey, it's a cult, right? I can understand why my staff might think that that's derogatory or that's wrong or that's negative. I think that's fantastic because it highlights that what we do and how we live is very different from anybody else. But candidly, that's why the business is very different in terms of its results, the profit margins that it's got and the growth rate that it's got, the global reach that it's got, that is wildly different from the business being run by this person in question. So to you, I want you to start thinking about the cult that you've created. If you've got a business, you have a cult, right? Those people in your office that you've employed, they should have shared values and beliefs. That's what a cult is. And if they haven't got shared values and beliefs, you haven't got a cult. And I know what you've got. Hell on earth in a company. If you've got more than 3 to 5 staff listening to this, and you have a collection of people with different values and beliefs. Now, look, I'm not talking about political values, and I'm not talking about beliefs about gender or beliefs about whatever, right? I'm not talking about any of those type of social, political, hotbed, climate, even climate change, right? I'm not talking about any of those things. You have to make sure that the people that you've got in your team have shared values and beliefs about success, about achievement, about entrepreneurship, about what it takes to be successful, what it takes to be a good team member. Like, these are the values and beliefs that you're going to have shared. I've got a team, and I could honestly tell you, if I lined us all up, we'd all have massively political different affiliations. We'd have different thoughts on climate change. We'd have different thoughts on Trump and Biden, on any socio-economic policy that the government might be doing or not doing. Everyone on my team would have a different view on that. We could all be left or right political. Some of us wouldn't give a shit about it. Some of them are centre ground. Some of them are as far left as you can get. And some of them are as far right as you can get. Don't make any difference to me. Like, none. That stuff isn't what I'm talking about here. It's ultimately about the shared beliefs and values around building a business that lasts, that endures. And equally, I'm going to take it one further. You have a cult in your home. You have a cult in your home as well. Right? If you've got a successful family unit, and I'm hoping, you know, and sure that you have, it's because you've got a wonderful cult. And equally, by the way, if you haven't got a successful home life and it isn't going according to plan, it's because the shared values and beliefs are not lining up. You have completely different views on how you want to raise the kids. You have completely different beliefs around how the money should be spent. You have different beliefs around the involvement from your parents. You have completely different beliefs about schooling and the system and where your kids should go or not go. You have completely different beliefs around the language that your kids can use, about where you want to go on holiday, about what the size of the house is that you want, what the level of debt that you want to get into is. You have different beliefs around those things. And if you have a successful home life, you have a successful unit at home, it's because those beliefs matched up. You had the same opinion about the involvement from each other's parents, about debt and money and how it should be spent and what you want for the kids or don't want for the kids, and whether you let the kids follow rules or not follow rules or do things that other parents wouldn't, and so on and so forth. You've created a cult at home. And the bit that I said to my staff, what's really fun about the cult at home, I shouldn't be able to fit into yours and you shouldn't be able to fit into mine. It's unique to each individual household. Equally, it's unique to each individual office, team, people involved in divisions or departments. There is cults created within all of those things. And candidly, I've got members, 300 plus members in my PG community, PG media. I've told them all they're part of a cult. I tell them at every event, welcome to the cult. This is a cult. There is now a big sign in my office because of this conversation back in January that the first door that you walk into in England, in my UK office, this is a cult. Welcome, right? And it says Paul Gough underneath it. Make no difference. Make no misassociation. You are in a cult. And we have shared beliefs and we have shared values in this business, and that's why it works very well. And that's why people either survive for years and they hang around for years with me, or they leave. And I always tell this to people when I do an event. So I just did an event in Vegas and it was attended by a lot of staff. And I said, pretty much what you're going to hear from me for the next 2 days is going to challenge everything you believe to be true about people, teams, culture, leadership. And I'm very brazen, I'm very candid, I'm very upfront, and I'm very blunt. I said, but don't mistake any of that for the fact that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to building teams. I've built multiple teams that run in my absence in multiple countries, in two different countries, in multiple different fields. I've got an average employee tenure of about 6 or 7 years. I've got people who've gone past 10 years with me. I've got people who are with me right now, 7, 8, on the way to 10 again. I've got my old longest serving employees was 12, 13 years, whatever it was. I've employed over 100 people. I've fired 50, 60, 70 people. I've been around the block when it comes to the people thing, and I've built teams, whether that's in physio, whether that's in a property company, whether that's in a media and a marketing business, whether that's in America, whether that's in England. I know how to build teams for a business, for that business to make money and be successful, because that ultimately in the end is the definition of a successful team, is it makes money, because that's the fucking reason that you employ them in the first place, right? Newsflash, political bullshit aside, political agenda aside, that's the reason that we put a team together, is for the business to spit out dividends, aka profit, over and above fair market salary for you, the business owner. Never forget that. Never be frightened to tell everybody on your team that that's why they're employed. Yes, you want them to enjoy their job. Yes, you want them to have good careers. Yes, you want upward movement for all of your employees. Yes, you want to feel good because you're doing a really good thing. The best thing that you can do for society, take people off the unemployment line and give them good jobs. But that's not why you're in business. You are categorically not in business to grow payroll. You're in business to grow the business as fast as you can and make as much money as you can with as limited resources, aka expenses, as you possibly can. So what you might want to start thinking about, my PG cult, this media business, right? This cult, this Planet Paul cult, people who subscribe to my newsletter, 300 plus. And if you want that, by the way, and you want to be on it, get in touch, paul@paulgough.com. I'm happy to put you on my mailing list if it means we can get closer or you can find out a little bit more about what we're doing. It's a 32-page marketing newsletter. It goes out. I write the article on the front, and then there's loads of great stories and marketing updates inside of it. Get in touch, paul@paulgough.com. Tell us you want to be on that, and we just need your address, and we can put you on that list. The Planet Paul that I've created, the beliefs and the values, we believe in financial freedom, in autonomy of decision making. There's a reason we didn't want to work for somebody, because we want to be autonomous. And I think that gets lost on many business owners. You forget why you started the business in your first place. Yes, you want to make a difference, and yes, you want to help people, of course you do. But something inside of you didn't want to be tied down. You didn't want to be an employee. You didn't like the rules. You didn't want to work 9 to 5, and you didn't like the fact that you had to kiss somebody's ass to get a pay rise every 12 months or wait for the government to tell you that you can have one. That's autonomy. You wanted to be an autonomous individual. There was enough of an itch there for you to go away and start your own business, to be able to think how you want to think, act how you want to act, build your business, provide service how you want to do that. That's what autonomy is. And for me, that's been the thing I preach from day one. The best thing about life and business is autonomy. Free will, I mean, it's in short supply these days, but don't get me started on that shit show with governments and political movements and all the other stuff that's going on to try and stop people from actually thinking and doing their own thing. Heaven forbid that people actually be allowed to think for themselves. Oh no, we're not allowed any of that. I was going through this is another bullshit example. This stuff like this pisses me off. I was going through the market yesterday in celebration. I took my little boy out on a bike ride, Harry, and we were heading to the basketball courts. And there's this Sunday market goes on every week. And it was about 2 o'clock and it was finished, right? There was about, I don't know, 20 people kind of walking through the town, and all of the stalls were getting packed up. And the lady said to me, "Sorry, you can't come in here." I said, "Olivia." She said, "No, you can't come in on your bike." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, you're not allowed." And I said, "Why?" She said, "You're not allowed." I said, "No, answer me the question. Why am I not allowed? You've told me I'm not allowed, but why am I not allowed? Two different things." She said, "I'm going to have to ask you to get off the bike." I said, "Absolutely no chance." I said, "For one, I'm here every single day, every single week on this bike, and I'll be here long after you've gone. Number two, I find it quite insulting that you think that I can't trot through this little 300-yard stretch at a very slow pace with my little boy on a bike without causing anybody any damage or harm. I'm 42-year-old with 4 kids. I travel all over the world. I'm responsible for about 40 or 50 people. I think I can figure out how to go through a little Sunday farmer's market on my bike at 2 or 3 miles an hour and not crash into anybody. I'm going to be absolutely fine, and I don't need you to tell me to get off the bike." Now, of course, she didn't like it, but off I went. And for those of you who know me, I absolutely despise rules, and I just as bad despise people who are as brain dead to push the rules onto other people, just getting in the way of a nice life. I was having a really nice day with Harry till that came along, and it didn't spoil it at all. But it's just an example of people just pushing stupid fucking rules down your throat constantly. And if you don't challenge them, I swear what ends up happening is all of a sudden these rules come into your life everywhere. And before you know it, everyone is telling you how to live your life. Oh, you know, kind of like how most people are living their lives these days and why they want to blow their brains out, because it doesn't feel like they've got any control. And it starts with stupid people at farmers markets telling people to get off bikes because they're not allowed to drive through 300 yards of a road, a big fucking road, by the way, in case. Again, call me whatever you want, right? Call me whatever you want. But I'm pretty adamant that these are the things that if people pay attention to, you look everywhere in your life, there are the most stupid rules holding you back, and that's what's irritating you. And the problem is you've become a professional rule follower, and you've become a bit too obedient, and you've become a bit too obedient in your clinic, and you've followed a few rules in how you run your business, and you followed the rules over there, and you followed the rules there, and all it's done is ground you into Groundhog Day, basically. And it's the reason you don't feel like you've got autonomy in your life. So I, for one, have been one for always about autonomy, free to make my own decisions, free to make my own choices in life, genuinely. Now, not laws, right? That wasn't a law. That was just some lady's opinion of whether or not I was allowed to ride my bike through. There wasn't a big fucking sign off the police saying no bikes. It was just some woman's opinion as to whether or not me and my son were allowed to be on our bikes in that area. I'm very, very capable of making my own decision and judgment on my ability to ride safely through an almost empty market area in the town that I live, that I drive through every single day. Anyway, a little bit of a rant, but it's not. And you might think it's pathetic, and if that's how you want to think it, then good for you. But I assure you, if I hung around with you for a week, you will be doing stupid fucking things, and I mean that respectfully, following stupid fucking rules enforced by stupid fucking people who, when you ask them, why do I need to get off my bike, they'll say nothing other than, because you have to, or that's the rule. And that's the only answer that they've got. And if you can't give me a better one than that, then I'm not listening to you, because you're fucking stupid, basically. Anyway, moving on. The other beliefs. We believe in success principles. And anybody who's in my world, the success principles of a strong work ethic, an aspiration, a strong mindset, that it's about education, real education, not school education, books, peers, studying success habits and traits of other successful people. There is a set of ways of being successful that are timeless, almost all the way back to Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. These things have been timeless, being part of mastermind groups, learning from more successful people, habits, standards, like success leaves clues. These are all success principles that anybody in my world believes in, and it isn't going to be handed to you on a plate, and it doesn't come easy, and you do have to work for it. And the challenge is actually part of the reason that you love the journey that you're on, because you just want another obstacle to knock over, and you feel really, really good about that. Responsibility is another word. In my world, responsibility is huge. Most people seek importance, and really what you want is responsibility. But that's the opposite of the world right now. They want 100,000 followers on Instagram. That's because they want to be important, but they don't want the responsibility of showing up at work every day, setting a target, hiring people, and working towards hitting that target through sustained and repeated effort. They want the 100,000 followers, so they'll fake it, they'll hack it, they'll pay somebody to get their likes or their follows or whatever, but they don't want the responsibility of committing to a goal. So they want to be important, and they want to be the guy or the girl, but they don't want to be responsible for the work that has to go on to get it. People in my world believe in responsibility, in hiring people, and putting your name down on a lease or rent, and paying your taxes, and being responsible for something that's big that you have to stand and fall by. Like, your name is on the door, responsible for the Google reviews, responsible for the Glassdoor reviews, responsible for not just hiring people, actually managing and leading people, two totally different things. They absolutely believe that making money is a good thing, not a bad thing, not to be vilified, which unfortunately the path that we're on is society is vilifying successful people. When that happens, when successful people are vilified, it means that failure is glorified, right? You're essentially vilifying successful people, therefore you're glorifying unsuccessful people. That's fucked up, right? I'm sorry for the very bad language, right? Like, that is really fucked up, and unfortunately that is a very, very, very close line that we're heading towards in society, where the successful people are going to be punished and vilified and pulled down and criticized and made to feel shitty and be bad and greedy and horrible and lucky and all these other stupid things that politicians will come out with in the media. and unsuccessful people are glorified. But there's never a conversation around the habits and the standards and the sacrifice and the risk management, the time management, the prioritization, the sales and communication skills that have been learned and earned over a period of decades in some instances for these very successful people. There's no consideration of that. And there's no consideration of the opposite in unsuccessful people, that there's no time and effort put into that. There's no plans, there's no targets set, there's no aiming high, there's no natural momentum to their life. Often what there is I wanted to get married and I wanted to have some kids and that was my goal. And when that happened, I felt really, really good and I got what I thought I wanted in life. But then they forget to set the new goal because life's comfortable. And then they don't like risk now and they don't want to do this and they just want to play on Instagram and watch Netflix and wait for the new series to come out and wait for another book from whoever, Kim Kardashian to come out or Prince Harry or whatever, and get engrossed in that for however many weeks and months because it's a distraction from their life. And they take their head out of the book or get off Netflix, they realize nothing has changed. The credit card bill lands, the car breaks, we can't afford the vacation, we can barely afford the health insurance, we can't do this, we're eating shit food, we're staying up late, we've got no fitness habits, we're not going to the gym, like life is just one big spiral out of control. But somehow that's glorified. That's getting glorified now in society. And I think it's bullshit. And I think anybody that hangs around with me thinks it's bullshit as well. And that's one of the sort of beliefs that we have, if you like. We value work ethic. We value independence. We value being responsible for your own outcomes. And success and failure, by the way. We do think it's great to be rich and to aspire to be rich. There's nothing greedy in it at all. It sure as hell beats the fucking alternative. That's for sure. One of my kids had surgery this week, and it's the first time we'd had surgery for Xander. He'd had a surgery in the UK when he was first born, and he just had surgery in the US recently. Just a minor thing, but he ended up having two or three things done at the same time, and we were in hospital for a few days, all planned. And I walked out of the hospital, and I've never experienced this, but I walked out of the hospital on the first night, and I was so proud of myself that I was able to afford for my child the best healthcare that we could get him. And whatever the bill was, we didn't have to worry about it. And whatever needed in the follow-up he could have, and whatever physio or OT he's got it. And if we have to come back and there's a procedure two or three, it's fine, it's taken care of, and there's no worries about it. Whatever happens, he's taken care of. And I don't say that to brag. It's just I'm absolutely proud of myself that I've created that for my kids, that none of them have to worry about healthcare. It's the most fundamental thing. And that's not because I'm rich or anything like that. It's because I've worked my nuts off for however long to get into a position to make sure that we don't have to worry about the most important things, which is health and healthcare and opportunity, etc., to these types of services for the kids. And I'm sure you've felt that as well. So if I felt that making money was bad, and this is what my point is, if I had the opinion or the belief that making money was somehow bad, well, however would I be in a position to be able to afford great healthcare for my kids, which is the fundamental thing that all of us as parents want to be able to do? There is a massive disconnect that goes on in this world. On one breath, you're allowed to believe that politicians and, you know, the news and these asshole celebrities will tell you that being rich is bad, even though they're all sat there in the big fucking houses, right? And then these massive amount of people buy into all that drivel. And then they're pissed when they can't afford healthcare for their kids or they can't afford healthcare for themselves. Well, how does this make sense? It doesn't to me, and I constantly question it. But I start equally by questioning the lady who wants me to come off the bike when I'm not going to cause a single bit of harm to anybody driving through the town centre that I live in on a Sunday. I start by questioning that girl, because if I don't question her, I don't question the bullshit that I hear on the news or in some cases from parents or aunties and uncles that tell you that money's the root of all evil and it's caused all of the problems in the world. I'm sorry, it fucking isn't. It's solving a lot of the problems in the world as far as I can see, and it'll solve a hell of a lot of most people's problems. Not all of them, but certainly a few problems. It could help them sleep at night if they did focus on it a little bit more. So I absolutely believe, even in healthcare, making money is a really good thing. But like I said in the book, in the Extraordinary Achievement book, just don't turn ugly when you do it. Don't turn the pursuit of money to be your god, if you like, your outcome. That's not the reason. It's a happy byproduct of success principles implemented and executed daily and faithfully, consistently over a period of years and decades, not hours and weeks, like many people think it is that it happens. And the last one, these are the same things, by the way, in my office. whether it's work ethic, it's responsibility. Making money is a good thing. I would actively encourage my staff to work hard, to want to take on more responsibility so that they can make more money. I talk to my staff a lot about money, about managing debt, about managing cash flow, about curbing their instincts, if you like, to go out and rush out and spend money and buy things, and just talk to them about how stupid some of the stuff is that people go out and buy, and how ultimately it just creates a cycle of debt that you can very rarely get out of. So I have all of the same principles in my physio cult, shall we call it, of Planet Paul, of hundreds of people around the world, that I do in my office. And I've also got them at home, and I thought I'd share these with you. So what's the values and the principles? Freedom. Freedom. And freedom for us is as little rules in our life as possible. There's just too many of the fucking things out there. As little rules as possible. Give the kids as much room to play and to breathe. Whatever they want to be, whatever they want to do, wherever they want to go. And that's genuine. That isn't bullshit. That's like, I've already started telling my 10-year-old, let's not even talk about college. If we end up there, we end up there. But it's certainly off the table for a long time. I don't care what your friends are talking about at school. There's no pressure from me to get into one of these Ivy League colleges or go. If you want to go and work in Starbucks at 18, kid, you do it. All I'll ever ask you for is make sure you're a fucking good barista. If you end up manager of the place, then great. We might one day look at starting a coffee shop, right? That's my natural instinct. But just make sure you're happy. And whatever you do, because if you want to serve people, you want to go and work in a soup kitchen in Africa, you go do that. Just be the best that you can be. There is no pressure from me to get you into, for you to get into these colleges and get A's and, you know, whatever it is you have to do these days. Just be the best person that you can be. With no pressure, because one of the rules is you have to do all of these things and you have to go to college and you have to do this, and the parents have to push and push and push. Well, I don't have that in our house, and I don't have that in our life. That doesn't mean that they're going to be lazy. That doesn't mean that I want them to just wake up and play on iPads. That's not what that is. It's just to let them express themselves, let them be who they want to be. Yes, if they're a little bit lazy, kick them up and, like, come on, let's get on a bike, or let's go play football, or let's go do this, or switch your iPad off if you've been on it for too long, or, like, there's a big container that they need to play in, but it's not a small little box that is full of rules where they're stuck and they're restricted. That's just not for us, and we're on the same page with that. We value fun. There's lots of fun in the house. We value laughter. Laughter in the house, and I talked to the kids about that, and I said it in the book. If you're in a house with no laughter, what's the point of living? Like, if you're in a house that isn't laughing, and you're belly laughing at each other, or shit that's going on, or stupid things people are doing, or just finding fun in each other's company, like, that's a serious, like, all the money in the world ain't worth it. That's for sure. Very few rules. We value travel. That's why we take our kids everywhere. We tend not to buy them things and stuff. We don't really focus on just stuff. Do you know what I mean? We just don't really buy stuff, but we invest a lot in experiences. My kids have been all over the world, and lots of our focus goes on that, with the kids, taking them to Europe or different cultures, Australia, wherever we're going to go this summer. Off to Paris, we're off to Madrid, we're off to Portugal, they'll be in London. We travel a lot, and we encourage them to get very comfortable with other people, other cultures, explore other ways of living from a very, very early age. We value friendship. It's important for us all to be friends, like best friends in the house. Like, that's who we are. We might be husband, wife, kids, father, son, mother, son, whatever, but ultimately what we are is best friends. We value support of each other, tolerances of our differences. That's especially true between myself and Natalie. We have to be able to tolerate each other's differences. And I think really that my view on it is the key to a very successful relationship is actually tolerance of each other's difference. Not trying to get each other to be exactly the same, believe the same, or buy into the same view of life, but tolerate each other's difference. As we value playfulness, inspired very early by Tony Robbins' quote, choose where you want to live. And he didn't mean Florida or Texas or England or Scotland. Choose where you want to live. You can live in a serious place, or you can live in a playful place. I choose playful. And the last one I wrote is, we value not taking life too seriously. And whenever we do, or if ever there's an instance we might have took it a bit too seriously, we just give each other a little kick and go, irrelevant, not worth worrying about, and it'll be tomorrow's outdated newspaper that'll be in the trash. So anyway, I hope that's got you thinking. Thanks to Adam. Credit to Adam Meekins for, I think he's the sports physio, just to give him a little plug. Because he does some great work, by the way. Like I said, if you're into your research and you're into your clinical expertise shit, which I'm not, full disclosure, I'm the kind of anti-Christ of all that stuff, because my audience is business owners, simple as that. I believe that there's a massive need for what Adam does, and I think that's fantastic what he does. But I stand by it, and I tell him to his face, and anybody to their face, if you're trying to be a successful business owner, physio business owner, and you're moving from great physio to great physio business owner, well, it's got nothing to do with clinical skills and how you will build that business. Like, there is a set of rules, the only rules to follow, best practices for building a business, how to market, how to sell, how to provide customer service. And I think that's where sometimes the people online who are very dominant, because there's significantly more physios than physio business owners, I think sometimes that's what they forget. They live in their own little world, which is fine, of it all being about being a great physio, because they're physios, except it isn't. Like, if you're trying to be a physio business owner, well, you have to apply the same type of thinking, right? The research and the rules that go on to kind of fixing ACLs, well, it's the same research and rules that go on to fixing a business's cash flow problem. Like, you just have to go understand them, and somebody's already studied them, and somebody's produced the document and the white paper for you and all of those things. So you have to go and learn them. And a failure to do that is what gets business owners stuck in being good physios. Now, you can earn a nice living being a good physio, but you can probably earn 10 times that being a great physio business owner if you can scale that business and then ultimately sell the thing at the other end, which I suspect, if you're listening to this podcast, is what your aspiration is. So there we go. That's my podcast. Pick a cult, get in one, get part of one. But most importantly, you should be part of one, and you should be creating multiple of your own, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your business, and you definitely should be part of one. In terms of a community of other business owners, if you like, that is sharing best practices and have similar beliefs, because you'll find it's going to make your life so much easier than sitting in that office trying to build your own business, doing your own thing, and getting stuck in your own head. So that's it. Podcast over. I hope you've enjoyed it. Share it out on Instagram or wherever you see this. Tell your friends about it. Leave me a comment or a review. I would love that. And hopefully you'll get to come and experience my cult in person in London in June. 7th, 8th, and 9th, PPM Live UK, or in New Jersey, Jersey City, 29th and 30th. We would love to see you. And Adam, if you do listen to this, you're invited to London as well. I would love to have a beer with you. Actually, it'd be pretty cool. So get in touch. Book a ticket for the London event if you listen to this around England, Ireland, or I'll see you in New Jersey. Have a fantastic rest of the day, whatever you're up to. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at the Paul Gough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.